Welcome to the Storefront Church Radio Program. This is your brother in Christ Jesus, Freddie Wilbanks. Thank you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial or this radio station's internet connection or our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1905. Initial air date for this program is for Sunday, February 3rd, 2019. And later in the program, we'll share a message entitled, Pray for My People. And we pray that you will stick around for that message. Thank you for praying for and supporting this ministry. There's plenty of room for everyone at the Storefront Church. Now that you're here, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and worship Him with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom, by faith, we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the prayerful support and the financial support of listeners. If you'd like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program, you can donate at our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or call area code 989-871-9668. Help us to reach the world with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ by visiting our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or calling area code 989-871-9668. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesning, Michigan sponsors this program. We want to thank the volunteers of today's Evangel Band. Over there playing on that big old grand piano already is Sister Narita Henley. And we're still praying for Brother Walter Kenzie, who's recuperating, and we hope to have him back with us shortly. Thumping on that doghouse bass is Brother Randy Stoddard. Strumming on that flat-top guitar, that Epiphone flat-top guitar, is Brother Clark Harding. And over there pulling on the cat's tail is Brother David Thompson. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival during this time of reprieve in this nation and around the world. Pray for our fellow citizens, government officials, judges, bureaucrats, the president, whom a lot of people seem to hate, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for our missionaries, veterans, fellow citizens, many who are in harm's way, and some of them have been killed and wounded because of God's word and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But for now, put your Bible down in one of those homemade pews, pick up one of those dog-eared hymnals, stand or have a seat, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, as He goes by, you'll find Worship gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this place and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this place and gathered in his name to worship Christ.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. My cup, fill it up. Children, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. Father, again, we want to thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us and for the many blessings that we see around us. Father, we want to thank you for what we have celebrated in the past week or two of the Christmas season and for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for sending him to us and for giving us this amazing grace that we sing about so often. Lord, we want to again thank you for being the rock, the steadfast place that we can lean on in times of change. As we watch the world just kind of spin around and jump from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, and Lord, we want to thank you for being the constant that we can lean on. Lord, Father, as we take a moment to pray for those that are about to stand behind the pulpit this very hour. Just give them the wisdom and the topic and the thoughts that you would have for them and their the constituents who are there in the congregation. May we all glean from the messages that are about to be given and right here in our own storefront church. As Freddie breaks open the scripture to us, may we too glean from it what you would have for us this very hour. Lord, we want to take a minute to pray for those in leadership roles throughout this nation, both local level, state level, and national level. Lord, it just seems that decisions are being made and that sort of thing, and it's simply amazing that we see that
you are being talked about again, Father. We want to thank you for that leadership role that we're under right now that makes this very thing possible. Lord, we believe it's just a reprieve, probably, as to what we'll be facing. But Lord, help us to be what you would have us to be during this time of this reprieve. Lord, may the church be what you would have us to be. Yes. May we stand tall and strong through these times. May we be the open biblical voice that our neighbors and friends see. Lord, help us to be what you'd have us to be. And may we continue to be that until you return. And Father, again, we want to thank you for those that are about to step behind the pulpit. And may we too glean from these messages what you'd have for us. And for all these things, Father, we'll make sure we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Thanks again, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Sister Narita Henley, what do you folks have for us today?
Well, Clark is going to bring us the special today.
All right.
All right. We're going to sing this old hymnal, the Heaven's Jubilee, page 110, an old red hymnal. And praise the Lord, let's go ahead and get with it. Some that morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, head for that jubilee under in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with him will be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. So what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens ring. Millions there will join the song, change with them will be praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, what singing. Praise God. Well, pick up those Bibles off those old homemade pews and turn with me to the book of Esther again in the 8th chapter, and we'll be starting right at verse 1. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. This is message 1905, 1905, for Sunday, February 3rd, 2019. And the title of this message is Pray for My People. Pray for My People. Hallelujah. In Esther 8, verse 1, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, If it please the king And if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Pray for my people. There's people in and around the world this hour that need to be lifted up in prayer. Mordecai had been before the king's courtyard, his gate, outside the gate, praying and fasting in an ashcloth, ashes and sackcloth before the gate, praying to the God of heaven that something would transpire, that God would move to deliver the Jewish people. The Jewish people were in dire straits because it had been decreed, it had been written out, it had been signed and sealed with the king's signet ring that every Jew, man, woman, boy, and girl in the kingdom of Ahasuerus was to be destroyed. They don't teach history in school very much anymore. At least it doesn't seem like it from what I see and what I understand. They teach foolishness. They teach history revisionism. They hold up people who to be remembered who are and change them. One comes to mind. There were several people that could be mentioned, but one's President Woodrow Wilson. And there's a college and buildings named to him, and in some areas he's widely regarded. But he did and set in motion a lot of things that caused people much suffering. One thing I'd like to point out is that the services and different military services in Washington especially and various parts of the country were integrated. And when he became president in this country, things became segregated, and terrible things were put in motion because of the decisions that he made. And that's the reason why we pray for this president that we have now. We prayed for the prior president, and we pray for all governmental leaders because the decisions that they make can influence and have an impact on the people of God. You heard our brother mention about a reprieve. I'm one of those people that sincerely believe that we're living in a time of reprieve. And many Christians and many of our fellow citizens are ignorant. They're willfully ignorant of the sign of the times, the signs of the times, and the things that are happening in our country and around the world. But I can testify the fact that as a minister of the gospel, the spirit, the demonic spirits and the heaviness that were on us for the past 8 years has taken a step back. Just the other day, matter of fact, it was early this morning, I was reading some headlines and things, and in the state of Ohio, they've just passed a law that makes it illegal for babies to be cut asunder in the womb so that they might be removed and aborted that way. You know, anybody with a lick of sense, any kind of moral grounding at all, should know that you shouldn't even need a law to prevent this horrendous thing from happening. And in the part of the article that I did read, Planned Parenthood is so upset, and they are defending this practice of cutting babies up inside the womb and removing a leg out and then another leg, then an arm, then another arm as they butcher these children. And so decisions that are made by our leaders can impact us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for God's people, my people, just like Mordecai was fasting and praying for God's people in the day in which he lives. And I need to remind you again that, as our brother prayed we just come through this Christmas season, and people who are in what's called the underground church, those who are Christians and who call upon the name of the Lord God in China, are being rounded up and persecuted more intensely now than what they had. They have had a little bit of a reprieve in the past years. And now it may be a case where demonic forces have been pushed out or pushed back in our country, and they're looking for somewhere else. The thief comes upon a place, and if he sees it's well guarded or well protected, he goes to the place that is that he views as not being well protected or well guarded. So we need to pray for my people, for God's people around the world. And we as Christians during this time in this country, the United States of America, we need to take this opportunity that we have and we need to pray. We need to pray. If you look at God's word, you find if you are open to it, you can see that the tool that we have is prayer. And prayer moves the hand of God. And God is involved in the affairs of men. And so we need to pray for God's people. Oh, hallelujah. Esther tells the king after this banquet has been going on and Haman's been taken out and hung and everything, she tells the king who Mordecai is to her. This one that in particular that Haman wanted to take and hang on a gallows at his house that was 50 cubits high. This one that Haman, this prince in the kingdom who was a prince who's just been hung, wanted to hang Mordecai on this. And she told him that this is my loved one. This is my, if you will, kinsman redeemer in a way. It was her uncle. He is the one who had mentored her through her young days and had shared the word of God with her and enlightened her in the word of God and had prayed for her and had been praying for her ever since she'd enter into the realm of the king and under his jurisdiction. Oh, hallelujah. She let him know what he was to her. In the last few weeks, there's been times when I've said and shared with you that things that happen in earth are reflective and similar to things that happen and go on in heaven. The different things and historical events that go on in this earth are reflective of and similar to things that go on in the heavenly realm and in the kingdom of God. Some of you are so smart that you can't accept this. And so I ask once again, listen as I try to show you some comparisons here. Be open-minded, and if you disagree with what's being said, I encourage you to get down on your knees and pray that God might enlighten me to what he would have for me and for you as we go through this journey together here at the Storefront Church. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter in the 17th verse, we read, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If you will, I would like to share with you that King Ahasuerus is somewhat a reflection of, or in a way, kind of like an earthly figure that is somewhat akin to the Lord God Almighty. You see, the king's word here is everything. His seal, his signet ring, his declarations, that's it. When he says a group of people are to be killed, men, women, boys, and girls, and he puts his signet, signs his name to it, puts his signet ring on it, it's going to happen. And Esther is telling the king here, and Esther is in a way kind of a Christ-like figure, and that she's saying that here is Mordecai, and he is my loved one, whom I am well pleased, and I want his life spared. And I love him, and King, show my uncle, my loved one, favor. You know, I pray, and I hope and pray that you pray for favor on your loved ones. Many times I call the names of my loved ones and I ask God to show favor to them. I lift up the names of my neighbors. Sometimes I forget names and I don't call people right by name, but I picture them in my heart and my spirit and my mind. And I say to the Lord God, you know the one that lives across the road whose name I can't remember. Show favor unto them. Let your salvation be presented to them and let them come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we need, and so Esther is here saying to the king, show favor to Mordecai. He's my loved one. And Jesus will say to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the Lord God Almighty, He will say, in a day, He will say, these are my loved ones. These are my people. These are the ones that I went to the cross for. These are the ones that I shed my love for. Oh, hallelujah. He shed His blood for us because He loves us. Hallelujah. Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman because, you remember, just verses back, the king said to her, whatever you want up to half the kingdom, I'll give to you. And what he does is he gives over all the property, all the wealth, everything, all the possessions that Haman had accumulated, and he gave them to Esther, and Esther in turn turns over and sets Mordecai over the house of Haman. This man who looked to be a nobody, who spent his day after day in front of the king's gate praying for his people, that God would show favor unto them, he was brought in and given possession of his sworn enemy's wealth and all that he had. Oh, praise God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, there's to me another similarity here we see. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, there's people around about us that in the eyes of the world, they are insignificant. They don't matter. And many of them are born-again, spirit-filled Christians. They're of low estate. They're of low means. They don't appear to have much, if anything, other than sackcloth covered in ashes in their life. And sometimes the social justice do-gooders go out of their way to steal from someone to give from them. But that's God sees their estate and their being. And sometimes social justice do-gooders don't realize what the child of God is going through. They see things from an skewed perspective because they don't see things in the light of God's word. What the world didn't see, what Haman didn't see, that Mordecai was a man of God, and even though he was groveling, if you would, in prayer before the king's gate, he didn't realize that he was a favored man. He didn't realize until it was too late that the one that he hated passionately was favored of God. Oh, hallelujah. How much more meek, how much more lowly can you get than someone who is of low means at the altar of God praying for the deliverance of persecuted Christians around the world? In the eyes of the world, how much more weak, how much more powerless, how much more ineffective can it be? They've made fun in the news media over the last few years, some of you who've paid attention and read the headlines, about ridiculing those who pray for those who are in harm's way. I pray for those who are in harm's way, who are children of God, that God will make a difference between those who call on His name and those who use His name in cursing. Hallelujah. And so it was, reflective of things that are going to come in the kingdom of God, how the meek are going to inherit the earth. Mordecai, this meek man, this lowly man, before there was groveling before the gates, he set over all the possessions and all the lands and all the vineyards and everything that Haman had acquired, everything that he had come by for whatever means. And many times people in this life come by things by hook and by crook, by deception. And the word tells us, if you want to look at it, that these things are like the grass of the field. The things that the world elevates and cherishes and craves is like the grass of the field, and it's burned away. And only those things that are for God has eternal value. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. In verse 3 we read, "And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears." And in Philippians chapter 2, we read a portion starting in verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, of the things of earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Things on earth, things in history, have been a reflection of things that are going to happen in the days and in the time ahead, in God's timing, in his plan, and in his purpose. To repeat again, Esther spake yet again before the king. This man, for all intent and practical purposes, was the most powerful man over the known world at that time. And she fell down at his feet and besought him with tears. You know, there comes a time when everyone will fall down before God. Everyone. Some people make fun of those who are slain in the spirit in this life, who are so filled with joy, who are so filled with the Spirit of God, then they come to a place and not everything's exactly the same. And this, what I'm about to say, doesn't encapsulate every instance or whatever, but at times people are so overwhelmed with the presence and power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the living God that they just relax in him. And it's funny to the world because they don't understand the things of God. To some professing Christians, it's a shame because they don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm, in the realm that they can't see. They feel the effects of it. They see the effects of it, but they don't really see the spiritual moving. They see the result of the spiritual moving, and they laugh and they scoff and they scorn. But there comes a time when every knee, the Word tells us here, that every knee shall bow before not just some earthly king, but the King of kings and Lord of lords, God, creator of all things. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, this reminds me of a conversation, and maybe some of you have had this conversation too. Through the years, I've heard it said, people, sometimes well-intending, have said, "Well, it doesn't really matter where you go to church. It doesn't really matter what you believe. It doesn't really matter if you are a follower of Jesus Christ or of Muhammad or of Buddha or some other or of a form of government like communism, that the government is your God." Many people, unfortunately, in this country, government is your God. You can see here in these days in which we live how much people worship government because they're all in a tither, because for a period of time, part of the so-called government has been shut down, and people are railing and they're cursing the president and different things. When he, in his own mind and his own logic and reasoning, he's trying to do what he feels is best for the country to protect it, people are upset and railing because of the government. And so government has become their God. Have you ever read the Ten Commandments? You're not supposed to put anything else above God. There is no God but God. And the Word of God tells us here and in other places that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father. So these people who say we're all going to the same place anyways, we're all worshiping the same God, we just call him by a different name, they are wrong. They are wrong. And some people get so upset because people like myself say they're wrong. And they're wrong, and I want them to know the truth. I want to present to them the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's either the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth, or he's the greatest liar. And I don't want to call him a liar. Maybe you do, but I don't. But I want to present to you that Jesus Christ came, excuse me, for your to redeem you from your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. then what you do with that information, what you do with that knowledge, what you do with that truth, that's up to you. I don't want a bomb to blow you up. I don't want you to be killed in some horrific manner. I burned at the stake. Whatever devices man can come up, I don't want ill to become to you. Just go on. You've had the gospel presented to you. Just go ahead and live in sin and see for yourself whether or not the word of God is true, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And Esther, here in this portion of Scripture, she comes weeping and falling down before the king, and she acknowledges him, and in its essence says that I know you're king over all. And she said in past recordings, past verses that we've shared, she realizes that her life can be taken by this man, and that she could have been in the same fate that Haman was in, where they come and cover her head with a bag and take her out and hang her or kill her. Oh, Lord God, but Jesus intercedes in a like way for us. This is my beloved son. These are my people. These are my people. These are the ones that I love. These are the ones that I went to Calvary for. Hallelujah. Praise the name. And she begs the king and pleads with him and in tears. And this woman knows that she's not out of the woods yet. She's not out of harm's way. This king just had somebody killed. There's no guarantee. But she says, if I have found favor in your sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written and reverse the letters. Woo. The letter had already gone out. The letter had already been gone out. And the only one who could change it, the only one who could do it. See, the decree has gone out that there is death for sin. And the only one that can change your eternal death sentence is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. He's willing to take and change it so that you don't have to be eternally separated from God. He's the only one who can do it. And so Esther, in a like fashion, similar as being a Christ-like figure, is she pleads with the king. Oh, she pleads, just like Jesus right at the right hand of God right now, pleads that people might be spared, that his people might be shown favor. You see, there's more to just this life. And it's confusing to many of you because many good people suffer bad things. And it's confusing because all you know and all you can see, unless God allows you to see more, is the physical. All you can see the physical, the pain and the suffering. But see, God sees that, but he sees more than that. He sees eternity. And as we shared with you before out of the book of Revelation, there are those that were martyrs who cried out to God and cry out to God now and will cry out to God in the future. How long will my brothers and sisters in the Lord have to suffer? And the word comes from the throne room of God, a little while longer. We have a reprieve now. And what are we doing with this reprieve? For persecution does come and vile things. And if you can't see how hatred of Satan is bottled up and being stored for an opportunity to be poured out in this country, you're blind. You may be willfully blind. But, oh, the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God intercedes. And he intercedes for my people. Pray for my people. And we, his people, need to be praying for his people and pray for one another. That's a command. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Oh, hallelujah. Esther did not want to see the destruction of her people. And Jesus does not want to see the destruction of those who are without the kingdom of God and do not have his salvation and have not accepted his salvation. He sends ministries and ministers and men and women of God with the word of life, with the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who many times are rebellious and don't want to hear it. He sends that to them that they might have life eternal. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Starting at verse 4, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more, pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, recently I heard of somebody who was complaining because they had gone to a funeral, and the minister had the audacity to talk about hell, mention hell at the funeral. Well, I'm going to have the audacity to talk about it for a moment right now. Wherever you may be listening from, listen to these words again. Am I going to heaven? Is a question. Am I right with God? Where will I spend eternity? Is a question, and similar to a question that many people ask themselves. Well, here's what the Word of God says. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All of us are going to die. But there's another death. There's an eternal death. And if you fall into this category and you don't repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and turn and repent and stop and turn and resist your sins and turn away from them, then this is where you're going to end up. And going back for just a little bit more, God says, though, that in heaven there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Jewish people at the time of King Ahasuerus were in mental anguish because they knew what their fate was decreed to be. But praise God, old things are passed away, and all things are made new. And just as there is an earthly application that we can see here, there's also a heavenly application. And we will see, Lord willing, that these people who were marked for death are given life, or the things in their life are made new and afresh, and they're given a fresh start. And God says that if you will accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, all things will be made new for you. I make things new, says God. I make all things new. There's a time when God is going to make all things new. And He wants to make all things new right now for you. He wants to give you a fresh start. He wants you to turn from your sin and follow Him and become one of those who pray for my people.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue.
give, Lord, for he's my Lord. He's my Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today and being a part of the Storefront Church. We ask that you truly pray for God's people. Pray for my people, the Lord God directs us. I challenge you in this beginning of this new year to set time apart every day and pray for the people of God.